I want to use some scripture this morning that's out of the Old Testament, and I don't know that I'm going to read you a lot of scripture, but I want to try to cover quite a little bit of here. And if I have a thought that I want you to think about this morning, it's what the Lord said unto the fine old servant Gideon. When he said unto him, that the people that are with thee are too many. You've got too many people. And what's going to happen is that if I let you go with all of those people, they're going to say, look what we have been able to do ourselves. If there is anything that I would like to be able to instill in the thoughts and the hearts of each one of you this morning, and something that you could live by the rest of your life, is that there's not going to be a single time in your life that you're not going to need the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to always have Him there, because we are human and we get away from Him. But don't ever get to the point to where that you think you can get along without Him, because you're just asking for trouble. Guarantee you that. From experience, I can tell you that. The people during this period of time had been disobedient, which is time and again in the Word of the Lord, especially in Old Testament. I think probably as much in the New, but we don't have as much history in the New as we do in the Old. So you look more back to the Old and get some of that history. But repeatedly, over and over and over, the children of Israel, God's people, would get themselves in trouble. And God would come along, and He effectively would bail them out. He would restore them. He would say, you know, I will bless you, but my blessings are conditional. And His blessings today are conditional. Sometimes I think our people forget that. We get this idea that God's just going to bless us no matter what. But His blessings are conditional. And you've heard me say a number of times here, and I think some of you don't agree with me, and that's all right. I've always said I don't expect everybody to agree with me on everything, and certainly you'd be in bad shape if you did agree with me on everything. But there are some things that are taught in the Word of the Lord that I'm convinced that whether you agree with me or not, they're going to stand. And they're fact. They're not something I concocted up. There's something that as I read the Word, I find. And I've said a number of times, God does not bless sin. Sin is His enemy. And when we sin, He's not going to turn around and say, well, bless your heart for doing that. You know, that's just not God. Satan might be able to convince you that you're being blessed for that, but God does not bless sin. Anyway, from time to time, the children of Israel would get away from the Lord. They would go following after other gods, and they would get themselves in trouble. And then when they got themselves in enough trouble and things got serious enough about them, then they would start getting serious with the Lord. And I see this in lives of people all the time, that they just go merely on their way until trouble comes. And when trouble comes, then the first thing that they're wanting to do is, oh, Lord, help me out. Lord, you know, I need the Lord. I need your prayers. I need this. I need that. Up until that point in time, they didn't need us. They didn't need the church. They didn't need the Lord. They didn't need anything. They were doing well. And all of a sudden find out that God just that quickly can change the whole situation. He can do that for any of us, whether we're saved or unsaved. And He can certainly let us know. Well, the children of Israel got themselves in trouble, and they had been overtaken by an enemy. And literally, they were starving to death. The enemy had come in, brought all their herds in, and taken over all their pastures and their lands and everything. And this fellow by the name of Gideon, he's out here, and he's sneaking around, and he's trying to find enough food to feed his family and to be able to take care of the animals. And an angel of the Lord appears to him while he's out here. And the angel said, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now, that's kind of an interesting salutation. The Lord is with thee, thy mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up out of the land of Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. Now, I'm going to skip around. I'm reading right now out of the sixth chapter of the book of Judges. I'm sorry, I forget to tell you sometimes where I'm at. And so you probably are having to scramble, those of you who've got your Bibles, looking in your concordance or whatever to find out where I'm at. And I shouldn't be so careless as to not tell you where I'm reading from. But anyway, out of the sixth chapter. But I'm going to get over into the seventh chapter. That's where I'm going here this morning. So you can read it at home. But anyway, the angel of the Lord comes to Gideon and says, you're a mighty man of valor. And old Gideon is kind of like, I think, many times I find myself saying, you know, if this is really of the Lord, why is all of this happening? If you know, I'm going to be able to deliver this people. He says, where is he? You know, I mean, what's happened to him that we've heard so much about? All of our lives, we've heard from our forefathers about how that the Lord delivered our forefathers out of the land of Egypt, brought them up into a promised land. We've heard that over and over and over again. Where is he? You're telling me I'm a mighty man of valor? I'm here, I'm hiding, and I'm sneaking around to be able to scrounge out a living, and you're saying that you're blessed of the Lord, the Lord is with thee. Well, where is he? You ever have that feeling in your life? Where is the Lord? I mean, just get so down and so out that you're thinking, I just do not feel his presence. I do not have him in my life like I had at one time. I'm probably the only one here who's ever experienced that. Y'all are looking at me like that's something alien. And I hope it is to you. I hope you've never been in that situation. But I have. I've been to that point to where that I said, man, I don't know whether I'm ever going to feel him again or not. I don't feel anything. I tell people every once in a while that when I was running around more and making a lot more revival meetings, I'd go to a revival meeting, and sometimes I'd go, and boy, I mean, they'd just be having a hoop and hollering big time, and everybody's just rejoicing and everything, just glory, glory, praise the Lord, hallelujah. And I'm sitting there just colder than a snake. I'm not feeling anything, and I'm thinking, you know, what is wrong here? Well, what was wrong was me, it wasn't them. But you know, there were times whenever that I truly just felt like, and everybody would be talking about what a wonderful service it was, and I'd think, I've never been in such a cold service in my life. And then I've had the same situation reversed. I've been to where, boy, I was just having a wonderful time, and I just felt the presence of the Lord, and I could look around, and I see nobody else has got near the feeling that I'm getting out of this whole thing, you know. But that's the way sometimes our lives go, and that's sometimes the way the Lord works in our lives. But anyway, I can understand Gideon. He's out here, and he's having a rough struggle right now. And he can't understand, after he's heard all of these good things about the Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then are all these things happening? And the angel begins to talk to him. And so Gideon said, well, I need some proof. You know, I need something to demonstrate that this is really of the Lord. Now, let me tell you something. There may be some times in your life where that you're just down and out and you need some proof from the Lord. Be careful what you ask for. You may get it. I hear God's people all the time asking for things I'd be scared to death to ask for. Now, I don't know whether they're sincere in the meaning whenever they're praying for some of these things or not. I assume they are, because they're supposedly talking to the Lord about it. But I'll guarantee you one thing. I hear sometimes people praying for things that I wouldn't even dare want. And they're just telling what all, you know, they're making all kinds of commitments to the Lord. You know what the Lord said in His Word? He said it's better to never make a vow than to make a vow unto the Lord and not repay. Yeah. Be careful. Be careful. Oh, Lord, if you'll just help me out this time, this is what I'll do. He might just take you up on it. Oh, Gideon said, you know, I know that you're an angel of the Lord, and I know what you're saying, but he said, I still am not just really convinced that this is all of the Lord. And so he goes in and he begins to put in action what the angel of the Lord tells him to do. And he goes down here and he destroys some of the places of worship that the people had built for Baal. And he gets himself in trouble with his own countrymen. Now, sometimes when you are doing something for the Lord, it does cause problems for people. It will. Sometimes whenever that the Lord has a message, I know for a fact that not every time that you come in here are you going to be blessed of the Lord. There are going to be some times His Word, rather than being a blessing to you, is going to be a chastisement to you. Now, I'm realist enough to know that. I'm not talking about the preacher. I'm talking about the Word of the Lord. Sometimes the Word of the Lord can cut us to the quick and make us miserable, and condemnation comes along to us and conviction comes to us that what has happened in our life is not right. My job is to preach the Word to you. My job is to give you the Word of the Lord. And the Bible says that when His Word goes forth accompanied by the Spirit, it will accomplish that whereunto it pleaseth Him to send it, where it pleaseth Him to send it, not me, and it will not return unto Him void. I love that. But I'll tell you what, there are times that it makes me very uncomfortable, and there are times when it hurts me. But old Gideon, he goes down here and he cuts down the groves, you know, of Balaam. And the next morning, these people are all upset about it. Who in the world did this? And right away, they know who it is. They know who it is that's cut down the groves. And he's in trouble. So again, he's confronted with the situation of, what is he supposed to do? And he says, you know, the Lord again lets him know, you are going to lead my people out of this captivity. And Gideon says, well, I want to test this to be sure that this is of the Lord. That used to be a favorite expression I hear people when the Lord would be dealing with them. They were always saying, well, I want to be sure it's of the Lord. Now, most of the time, that's a stall. What we're trying to do is get out of what the Lord wants us to do. See, God still, I believe God still speaks to us as His children through the Spirit, and that we know. Some of you may not believe that, and if you don't, that's okay. I don't know how you get along. I don't know how you feel like you've got the presence of the Lord. If you don't have His Spirit and you're not feeling Him and you're not listening to Him and you're not hearing Him, maybe you do some other way. There is it's certainly an alien thing to me. Because I believe God is real and I can feel Him in my heart and that He speaks to me through the Spirit and through His Word. And old Gideon said, I want another proof here. So he said, we're going to try the fleece experiment here. I'm going to put out this fleece, and I want it to be dry, and I want all the ground around it to be wet. And if that happens, I'll know then that this is of the Lord. So he puts it out of the night, and sure enough, the next morning, fleece is dry. Now, I may have these in reverse order, but he does it both ways here, so I'll get them both for you here. And the next morning, then, all the ground around it is wet. And I guess probably like most of us do, he gets thinking about this, and, you know, there could have been an accident. There could have been some reason that this works. I want it just reversed. This time, I want the fleece to be wet and the ground all be dry. And the Lord again proves to him that it is of the Lord. So Gideon is finally convinced then that the Lord is truly in this and that the Lord is going to help him to deliver the people. Now, he's made no pretense that he's a great leader or anything. As a matter of fact, he said, you know, I'm the least of all the people to be able to do this. I don't know why you would choose me. I tell people every once in a while that the only reason that I can find that the Lord would even thought about calling me to preach the gospel is when you go over there and you read in the New Testament, it says he takes the foolish to confound the wise. And it takes the offscouring of the earth, which, you know, I feel all those qualifications. So I can understand that. But certainly it's not because of anything that there was good about me. And so Gideon is here and he says, okay, you know, the Lord, I'm convinced that the Lord is in this. And so the Bible says, and Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moriah in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. He's got 32,000 people out here now, Gideon does. And the Lord says to him, Gideon, you got too many people here. I don't guess the Lord's ever told me I've ever had too many people. I'm always asking, why don't we have more? He said, you got too many people. And I'm going to tell you why you got too many people. If I let you take these 32,000 and I go out there and I give you the victory over the Midianites, they're going to say, look what we've been able to do. We have done this. We've gone out there and we've whipped this vast army. We've done it ourselves. Let me tell you something. Jesus himself said, he that is exalted shall be abased, and he that is abased shall be exalted. We need to be very careful whenever that we start thinking that we're something that we're not. When God gets us to where our vision as it should be, we will understand how little we are in his sight. I commented to Karen and I when this quartet came on stage down there. I said, those are big old boys. And when they were on the stage, they didn't look that bad. But I've been up beside them, and I've looked up at them. And the one guy, he had lost, what, he said 40 pounds. The other one, he had lost 20 pounds. And they're still, the one, especially the one that just lost the 20, he's still a big guy. I'd seen him down there last year. And again, I'm just talking about their physical size. They were all four big. But see, when they were all four about the same size up there, they didn't look big. If it had been one of them had been that big and the others had all been about my size, well, he'd have really looked big then. But my point that I want to make this morning is that sometimes we get to thinking we're pretty big. Yeah, and we're pretty important. And that the Lord might just not be able to get along without us, that we've just done so much for him and we're doing so much for him and we're such a blessing, you know. Let me tell you something right now. The Lord can get along without any one of us or all of us. He can come along. He said in different occasions, I'll just wipe them out. I'll just wipe out the whole tribe. Start over. He's got the ability to do that. Speak the word. Can you imagine that all that's keeping this world in existence today is not how smart we are, is not how wealthy we are, or how knowledgeable we are about all the things, or how spiritual we are? That's not what's holding this. God has not yet given it. He's going to speak the word one of these days. When he speaks the word, the fireworks are going to begin. That's all it's going to take. I don't know when that's going to be, neither does anyone else, excepting him. But that's the power. So anyway, he says, Gideon, you've got too many. They'll say, we've done it ourselves. So he said, I tell you what I want you to do. He said, I want you to weed out those who are fearful and afraid. Those who are fearful and afraid. Do you know how many people there are in this church who are afraid? Oh, I can't do this. I can't do that. Oh, don't you get somebody else to do that job. I can't do it. They're fearful and afraid. They don't want to do it. There is not a single one of you here that with the help of the Lord couldn't do anything that's to be done. As a matter of fact, probably most of you who would think that you couldn't do it are the best equipped to get the job done because you would know you'd have to have the help of the Lord. It didn't take me long to learn after that God had called me to preach that he's got the control. I don't get to choose. I don't get to decide what I'm going to preach or when I'm going to preach it. I just need to make myself available to him. And it didn't take long to learn that. I got up one, the first revival meeting that I ever worked in. And I love to read about the Apostle Peter. I'm going to have to hurry because I've got time. But anyway, I love to read about the Apostle Peter. And so I'm thinking, I'm going to get up and I'm going to preach on him tonight. I'm going to preach on the Apostle Peter because I like him. I still do. I still like him. I still like to preach on him. So I get up and I turn over there to the Apostle Peter and I start reading the scripture about him. And back in those days, the tradition was that if you read your scripture, you closed up your Bible. That way you've got to depend on the Lord. You know, that everybody out there knows now. You're not looking at that book. The Lord's going to give you the whole thing. And then you get down and you pray. Get down here on your knees and pray. Now, I'm not making fun. I'm just telling you the way it was. And there are still some that do that. And I'm not saying that's wrong. Some preachers can do that. I can't. So I get down, I pray, I get back up, books closed. I can't even remember what I've read. I cannot remember one single thing that I read. Stand, I am totally at this point in time blank. I'm standing there and I'm wanting to open that book up so bad. But unfortunately, I probably didn't even have a marker at that time, and so no telling where it would have opened up to if I'd opened it up again. But the first thing I did is realize I'm in trouble. You know what I did? I said, folks, we need to pray. I just got up. But I needed to pray. I'll get right back down again. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. Whatever you want. It was a good lesson for me. It was a tough lesson. I was embarrassed. I was humiliated. I'm just starting out. And the people didn't have any idea of what all was going on in my heart and my mind right then. You know, I'm sure some of them, boy, that's good. He's going to pray again. They didn't have any idea how much trouble I was in. I got up and I went ahead and finished out the service. I don't remember what I preached on now. But the last night of that revival meeting, the Lord laid on my heart to preach, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. You know who said that? Peter. Oh, Lord. I'm not about to go to Peter again, you know. But then I remembered, it's not my call to make, it's his. And I got up and I preached, and my aunt, who had told some of the people in the church, our home church, I was working in another revival, said, oh, I want you to go here, Kent. He doesn't preach very long. You know, he just preaches. at the most 15 minutes. And that was true at Farbala Levine. I preached an hour plus that night. And I never felt like I touched the floor from the time I started till I finished. That's just how the Lord blessed me in the whole thing. And my aunt gets up and says, well, he made a liar out of me tonight, you know. And I didn't even know what she was talking about. But I guess the point that I want to make to you this morning is that over the years, I have learned a lot of things the hard way. And I hope to share some of those so that you don't make the same mistakes I've made. But these, you know, it is easy for us to say we can do this by ourselves, but we can't. We always need the Lord's help. It's not just with preaching. It's in our everyday lives. We need Him. You know, you've got too many. Send those that are fearful and afraid back. You know how many goes back? 22,000 out of 32,000 goes back. I can only imagine, again, you know, Gideon here, he's already been concerned about whether this all of the Lord or not. And when the Lord tells him, let those that are fearful and afraid to go back, and 22,000 of them get up and take off on him, I can only imagine what he must have been thinking. He's human. And the Lord says to him, Gideon, you still got too many. Lord, 2/3 of them gone back. They were afraid and fearful. He said, well, you still got too many. He said, I'm going to tell you one more thing. We're going to test them one more time. You take them down there to the brook, to the stream of water. And he says, well, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take those that lap as water like a dog and put them in one group. And you take the rest of them and put them in another group. When he gets through, he's got 300 over here and he's got 9,700 over here. Lord says, send them back. Send them back. I've thought a lot about what, and I guess probably I need to read some commentaries of some preachers who are smarter than me, which would be anybody, but I need to read to see what the significance. See, here's what I've always thought that was. Those that lapped the water up would not have put their head down. See, when you get down in a stream of water to get a drink, you gotta get down here like this to get it, don't you? Well, you see, you put your head down. You've not kept your eyes up. You take that water and you lap it up here, you can keep your eyes up. You can keep your eye on the Lord. Yeah. You're going to do something for the Lord, you better keep your eye on Him. You better be in the position to where that He can lead you and that He can give you direction and that you'll follow the direction. These 300 men that Gideon ended up with, I've got to quit, that he ended up with, whenever that he equipped them, he didn't give them a sword, he didn't give them a shield, he gave them a trumpet in one hand and a pitcher with a candle in it in the other hand. If I'd have been one of those 300 people, I'd have said, that man is as crazy as all get out. I'd have probably been one of those then that would have said, well, I'm going to go with the 22,000. I'm fearful and afraid at this point in time, and I'd have hit it out. I'm just telling you. But they didn't. They stayed with him. And he equipped them, and he said, now I want you to watch. We're going to go out here, and I'm going to put you in position, and I want you to watch me. And whatever I do, you do it. How would you like to be in that position? Say, you watch me, and whatever I do, you do. I don't want to be in that, Dan. I don't want people watching me and saying, well, I'm going to do what Parson does, because they're going to get in trouble. The person we've got to keep our eye on, and the person that we need to watch, and the person we need to follow is the Lord. If we follow Him, He'll give us the right directions. He'll help us to get the job done. And when we get it done, we'll know who it was that caused it to be victorious. Those 300 men, y'all know the rest of that story. They went out there. This army of the Midianites was, the Bible says, as thick as the grasshoppers. There was a huge army. 300 of them, because of the Lord, destroyed themselves. The 300 went and did their little part. But you don't kill many people with a trumpet or with a pitcher and a candle in it. But they killed themselves. It wasn't suicide. They were killing each other. God always knows how to get the job done. And He'll do it if we'll pay attention to Him. But too often, we want to say, look what we've done. Look what we can do. Oh, I'm one of His children and I can do this. You can do it if He lets you. You can do it if He helps you. But you aren't going to get it done. You may think you have. And you may have done it to your satisfaction, but to Him, that's the one you're going to answer to. Not to me, not this church, not to anybody else here. So we just need to remember, we always need Him to help us get the job done. That's my message. Kind of scattered, but hopefully a little long. Don't let me go to Tennessee too often. Those preachers down there preach a long time. So maybe rubbed off. No, I'm just kidding. I love those men down there.